there are people on.
Am I there? Yes. Oh, praise the Lord for that. Good morning, church. I'm going to come to the back here and welcome the one and nines. It's £5 or £6 now, isn't it, in the cinema? At the back here. Hello, all, everybody. Are we ready for a challenge this morning?
Yes.
Who believes that the Bible is inspired word of God? I do. We're going to go through some very difficult Bible readings this morning. Very challenging Bible readings. But before that, I share with you, I've been given a challenge. God has given me a challenge, a wake-up call. We never know what's going to happen, do we, tomorrow? And I've given a wake-up call, and I know I've got to stand up for Jesus right now. That is why I'm standing here. A little while ago, this is... Rose can't get over this because I remember it. On Facebook, she saw a little prayer. And it was, "Dear Lord and Father, I know that you will not test me further than I can be tested and that I can bear. But please, dear Father, please do not have so much confidence in me." Before we go to the Bible reading, let's challenge ourselves. Number one, what is a Christian? Somebody tell me what is a Christian? Yes? Follow Christ? Brilliant. Follow of the way, the Bible told us, wasn't it? Okay. What is a church? Yes, it's a gathering of people, isn't it? Yes. What is a live church? Ah, that's a little bit more difficult. A worshipping church. Right. Is this church alive?
Yes.
Good. That's it. That's the challenge we've got this morning. Okay. Is this church alive? Right. We're going to read from Revelations. Chapter 3, verse 14. Hopefully we did have it up. Not today, not to worry. To the church in Laodicea. Now please do not be too worried about the first bit, because the second bit is just as important. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." Oops. Right. Does anybody know what the King James Version says? "Spew you out of my mouth." Now, I do not want to be spewed out of God's mouth at any time, and I'm sure you don't too. So we then go to we carry on with our scriptures, don't you? "You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and wear white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." That's Jesus speaking. He's speaking to each and every one of us this morning. he's talking to a church which is a halfway point. He'd rather they would be cold, or rather they'd be hot, but not warm. Jesus is saying, are we going to be on fire? Do we want to be on fire? Do we pick up that gold of Jesus and be on fire? And he comes on and he says, I'm standing at the door of the heart. You've seen the picture, the famous picture of Jesus standing outside the door with the lamp. It's a very famous, beautiful picture. Jesus is standing at the door of my heart today. Your heart today. Your heart today. Say, I want to come in. And when I come in, I'm going to change you. And that is the challenge. Next challenge. Are you ready for another scripture? All right. Let's see if I can find it. Now, we said earlier on, what is a church? A church consists of many parts. I think that's brilliant up there. All the different people are on there. All the different parts. Right. 2 seconds. 1 Corinthians. We'll get there. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12. Verse 12. What I'm working to now is we've allowed Jesus to work within us. We're going to become a body of Christ. This is what this scripture is. It's a body of Christ. Working together, each and every one of us, working together because we are the body of Christ. One body, many parts. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were in an eye, would the sense of hearing be? Where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Each and every one of us is a special part of this church. Yeah? Do we agree? What are we going to do about it? Oh well, what are we going to do about it?
You're on fire.
I'm on fire today. Right. Fun? Work together. Good. Right. Number one. Pardon?
What does each one do?
That's it, right. In that passage, actually, is all about the spiritual gifts. About all the different things we should be doing. We haven't got to go through them specifically, but by accepting Jesus into our lives, we accept his spiritual gifts. And that strength of the spiritual gifts gives each and every one of us a job to do. Now one day we might be called to go and pray for somebody. Now if we go and pray for somebody, sometimes it's difficult, isn't it, to know what the words to say. But what does the Bible say? We should pray in faith. Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now he might not do it right that second. He didn't say that, did he? He might not do it right that second, but he will do something about it, that situation. So we go and pray for somebody. We believe. That's great. Somebody's upset in the street. What do we do about it? Isn't it nice to put an arm around somebody's shoulder, isn't it? You've got to be a little bit careful, I know. But it's nice to put your arm around somebody's shoulder, the shoulder when they're feeling distressed. When I first became a Christian, I was given a commission to go out into the world to speak my word, to heal the sick, and to comfort the distressed. And I haven't always done it. I've been disobedient because of that. I know. Another reason I'm standing up here this morning is because of that. I have been disobedient. I haven't always done it. And I should be doing it. That is my job. My commission, what Jesus gave me. He gave each and every one of us a commission. He gave the pastor the gift of being a pastor of this church. It's a very important post in the church. But that doesn't mean the pastor's got to do everything in this church. We should not expect that. We are part of the body. Unless we are a body, the pastor can't do anything. He is on his own. He needs help. He needs our prayers. He needs our strength. Sometimes we need to share with each other scriptures. If we read our scriptures, we can share them with one another. We can teach one another. Any person in this church can be a teacher. That scripture tells us. By accepting the Holy Spirit, the scriptures come alive. When I had the honour, real honour, of being baptised in the Holy Spirit one night at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was actually reading From Prison to Praise. It was a book, a very, very famous book. I'd learnt all the scriptures all my life before that, and all of a sudden I picked up my Bible, and wow, they opened up. I could understand what Jesus was saying to me. You can accept the scriptures. You can understand the scriptures. Allow God to come in. Open that door. We can have gifts of miracles. And people look at me and say, I can't do miracles. What did Jesus say about miracles? He said, the things I do, you will do greater things. He didn't say, oh, when I'm gone, that's all finished, did he? One church I went to said that to me. Jesus, the Holy Spirit's gone now. I went 2,000 years ago. Nothing happens in the church anymore. And that was a church. Sad, isn't it? Gifts of healing. Gifts of ministration. That's a gift. It's a very special gift. Without administration and things going right in the church, we have chaos. But right at the end of that passage, if just read the last bit, are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all work miracles? Do we have gifts of healing? Do we all speak in tongues? Do we all interpret? But eagerly, it says, eagerly deserve and desire the greater gifts. We should desire these gifts. We're going to become a live church, yes? We've got a challenge today. We're going to become a live church. We're going to desire the gifts. We can put them away in our pockets and forget them. Or we can say, dear Lord and Father, I want your gifts. I want to serve you today. I want to go out to that church, this church, alive. Let's find another scripture. It's going quite well this morning. We're going quite quickly. That's good. I'm not going to go overboard. There. That's it. When we bring everybody in, it'll be right. Now, it would have to fall out, wouldn't it? Can we find James 5, please? It's in here somewhere. So. I haven't got the church Bible page, I'm afraid. I'm sorry. 12:16. Right, okay. Okay. Now, when earlier on I said that we wanted to bring everybody into the church, not right this minute, but there is a reason. It's a reason of prayer and praying for each other. Now, James had a burden on his heart, obviously, because people weren't praying for each other and praying for healing and praying for different things. Or if they were, they weren't believing anything was going to happen. So we'll read what James was saying, shall we? James 5. The prayer of faith, which is chapter 13. Verse 13. Are we all right? You'll have to forgive me if I'm a little bit, the reading's not too bad. My vision, the close vision is rather blurred at the moment. So, it's not brilliant. Is any of one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone sick? He should call the elders. The elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. That's really brilliant, isn't it? We can pray for somebody and their sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. Now, sometimes it's very difficult to confess to one another when we've done something wrong, isn't it? But I believe if we do something wrong to somebody, if we can go to them and say sorry, that confession of sin, of being able to say sorry to somebody when we've wronged them, that's more important than anything, isn't it, in rebuilding a confidence, rebuilding our church. Now, we all do wrong to each other. We all upset one another. I know that. I've upset lots of people. I'm always upsetting people. And if I've upset anybody in this church, I'm going to say right now, I'm sorry. And I mean it. No. No. Last time I said, I am a sinner. I know I'm a sinner, and I'm still a sinner, and I'm trying hard not to be a sinner, but it's very difficult. Yeah. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from the death and cover him from a multitude of sins. We want to help each other. We want to forgive each other. We want to lead each other away from sin. How can we do that? We've got to help each other. We've got to be the body of Christ. Everyone. No, you're stuck in under your seats. It's very easy to do, isn't it? If somebody says something quite hard, you want to put your head under the seat and say, not for me. It is for you. It's for every single one of us this morning. This is why I wanted a short sermon which actually shows us what Jesus is saying through scriptures. They're not my words, were they? Because they're the Holy Spirit. The words were actually in this book. Jesus spoke them through his Holy Spirit to us this morning. Every one of us. Shall we sing Thine Be the Glory? That'd be great, wouldn't it? And then we'll finish with prayer. Something different, which we haven't done yet. We're going to do something a little bit different. So.